I thought maybe it's a good time now to open the forum for a little question and answer session. I just wanted to say maybe one thing which I think, thank you so much. We have started it already. Something which I wanted to say in the beginning. I realize that some of you are just for the first time in an ashram like this, and therefore I can well imagine that for you the program must be quite packed. And one response to in our human mind to an excess of information is that the mind switches off, and strangely we become more tired than we usually are, because it's just an overload of information mixed with an overload of wonderful foodstuffs which we are not used to, and now a lot of energy goes into digesting and so on. But mainly our tiredness there's a reason that we are, that so many informations are coming, that people are dressed differently. When they go into a room, they kneel down. I remember the first time I saw this, and I was entering into a temple, and a monk was kneeling down. I thought he had lost something. So I wanted to be helpful, and I also went down on the ground and started to search maybe for some coins or a piece of paper with an important telephone number and so on. And then I heard, no, we do this. We bow down. Yeah, well, far out to whom? I can't see anyone. It's to God. Acha. So all these things are new informations which we either hear or see, or we eat new foodstuffs, or we stay in a place which has a high devotional energy which is different. I have a room neighbor, that means he has a room just next to me, and he said, the whole night I was dreaming of you. I thought, oh, sorry. So what I want to express is, pace yourself, be patient with yourself. After the sessions, use the free time, walk a little bit in nature, sleep under a tree if necessary, digest the information, look at the notes, or sometimes you may not feel you have to get up so early. No need to get up so early. Please be a little bit compassionate to yourself when you come into this new space and so on. The other way our minds react, is that we become unnecessarily critical to what we see. We immediately judge what we see from our points of reference, and we in this way sometimes become critical or annoyed and so on. All these are signs that we have an overdosis of new informations, an overdosis of new impressions, and that it's time to be a little bit compassionate or patient with our own journey while we are here. I wanted to say this because, believe it or not, even I, who am an older monk, I have been in this for more than 45 years now. I sometimes feel when I go to a new temple or when I go into the Himalayas for a pilgrimage, I can see there's so many new impressions. And because spiritually minded people tend to be a little sensitive by nature, they pick up all these informations much better than a person who is dull because he has just drunken a whole box of beer. So I just wanted to say this as a little, as a brotherly tip to all of you. I know what this means, an overdoses of information and impressions, and I know that the mind reacts sometimes in an unnerved way, or we just switch off and we become tired as if we have not slept for 50,000 light years, and our limbs are heavy like lead. This is all a sign that you need to pace yourself and be compassionate. And I wanted to now see if you have any questions up till now. So let us engage in a little question and answer session, because I will soon need you again for a very meditative exercise with our Japamala. But let us see if we can engage in a little question and answer. Wow, there's juice. Ooh. Yes, Jai Krishna.
Maharaj, related to the lecture this morning, in the Nectar of Devotion it says if once you chant the holy name, you're liberated. But what you told us this morning is quite different, you know, or my understanding of liberation is wrong, you know. Could you put these two things in perspective, what you said this morning and this statement?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's actually a fact. When you chant the holy name, you're liberated. But it may not be that you go back to Godhead. There's a difference between liberation and entering into a loving relationship with the Lord. As you may know, we have here the world of dualities, and beyond this world, there is the world of no dualities, the Brahman energy, the homogeneous spiritual energy, where those who are yogis want to enter and stay there. But we in Krishna consciousness talk of a world which lies beyond both the dualistic world and the non-dualistic world. We talk of a reality beyond the material world and also the Brahman energy, the pure white light energy. We talk of the world of the kingdom of God, and everything there relates to the Lord in a loving, ecstatic mood. There's also a sense of oneness with the Lord, but a sense of oneness and difference. Oneness is in your one and spiritual quality, but different, you're different so that there is a relationship happening, and it's called a rasa, an ecstatic relationship. So those who just chant without feeling this relationship or becoming absorbed in this relationship, they will be liberated in an ordinary sense. And those, that means they will go into the Brahman energy, but those who chant with a sense of relationship, they will be liberated in an extraordinary sense, in that sense that they go into the spiritual world. But also, let us deal with those who just chant the name one time, let us say on King's Day. They see the monks coming by, they go Hare Krishna Hare Ram, or they visit an Indian temple, and while they go in a temple I met two of these people the day before yesterday. They had just gone to a holy place and seen a kirtan party in the temple. Kirtan party means there were monks sitting and chanting. And they also they felt, how nice is the atmosphere here. Let us linger on, let us stay on. They will be liberated for sure, either in an ordinary way or in an extraordinary way. But there is also now the question of time. I remember once my spiritual master was talking to people who were just initiated. The people thought, I thought I'm now liberated, but I feel the same thoughts which I felt before. And Srila Prabhupada said, you are liberated, but it will take a little bit time for you to wake up. And he gave an analogy. He said, when someone is drowning in an ocean and then he is caught from the ocean and put on the boat, he is in a way saved from drowning. But because he is lying there in a comatose situation, it may he is still dreaming that he is drowning. But when he wakes up from that a comatose situation, he notices, my God, I'm on the top of the boat. I recently saw someone said, you must look at this movie, and it was about a man who was stranded on an island, and then he wanted to escape the island, and he built himself a raft, and for many days he was just floating on the ocean, and he had problems with drinking water. I think he exhausted his supply, and with food, but somehow he survived. And then he but eventually he fell into a coma, and when he was floating in this coma situation, it, apparently it is filmed after a real life experience, a big ship came by and took him on board, but it took him like, he was so finished, like 3 days or 4 days to come and interact with the people. He had been on an island for a long time, and he needed to wake up now from his comatose situation, and then afterwards get into relationships again. So liberation can mean a little bit like this, that we make contact with the spiritual energy, but we still, although we are have made contact, it takes still some time for the full effect of the liberation to unfold itself, so that we become enlightened and we see it. So two things to answer your question in a twofold way. You can only go to the kingdom of spiritual rasa if you learn to develop a rasa here. And the other thing is about liberation, there is something like delayed liberation. it is there, but the effect is coming after some time. Like we say to a woman, oh, you have a child? She has a child in her womb, but it may take like 9 months before we can actually see it. But it's correct. We could say you have a child, she has conceived, and but it will be a little delayed until we see it. Any other of you have the question which we should address at this stage? Yes, Nityananda.
There's a question about faith. And it's a question mainly kind of for new devotees. I have a friend who's just come into Krishna consciousness very recently. So the faith isn't very strong, and then they suddenly go through an experience which smashes whatever faith they have. How do we help them to re-establish that faith as a new devotee?
I think the first thing is you have to really hear them out and give them a forum in which they can describe their experience and also what shattered their faith. And it's very, very important to, when as you hear them, that you try to see things through their glasses. The Red Indians have a saying about empathy. They say, if you want to know me, walk one day in my moccasins, and then during that day go down to the river and fetch some water from the river, and then come up to the village again. In other words, try to see things through their eyes, not your eyes. And if you see this, you will, if you do this, you will first of all understand them. Only when you have understood someone fully, and best is even if you have felt as they feel, not just here, but you understand here also, you feel like them, then you can see what can be answered. Very often it's a clash of civilizations which take place, or worldviews. I do remember this. For me, very good. For me, it was a very new experience to come into the temple where everyone paid their obeisances. And I remember it was very difficult for me to, when everyone bowed down, for instance, when the altar was going up and when the curtain was opening. I remember I said to my, I will never bow down. This is really the last thing in the world I do. And I kept my resolve for half a year. Everyone around me was going down. I didn't. Because I thought it's humbling to get down, and you lose your confidence and so on and so forth. But then I said, one day I said, let me get this clear. Why do they don't bow down? What is in their heart? What is the understanding? And when I understood it, I thought, that makes sense. They bow down to the Lord. Wow. They don't bow down to a human being. They bow down to the Lord. But first you need to understand, really. And you will see, everyone is so relieved if they just have you listening to them. Nowadays, people don't have other people who are really interested to listen to them. So they go to the psychotherapeutic person and give him money for this. In Japan, you can buy a friend, because people just lack this open ear who listens to them. You buy a friend, and it's not about the sexual industry. It's not about all that. That's something else. That's another department. Buy a friend means you are with a friend, you converse with him, you drink tea, you may make a walk, and you talk. This is the main thing. Buy a friend. There's a great need of people to make themselves understood. So if you are interested to help someone, then you must listen to that person. But that is a lot of time. You must invest a lot of time, really. And if it's a Mataji, if it's a woman, it will be double the time. Because more is going on. Hare Krishna. Yes. Who? Wilhelm?
Yes.
Yes, Wilhelm.
I don't know if I can phrase it, but I feel very happy to bow down to a rose or even a person.
Mm-hmm.
I can enjoy that, and I'm just wondering what can you say in order for me to get some kind of feeling on, because for me it's a little thing playing a flute, and I can't get God or Krishna into the
picture,
that thing. It's just a thing for me, and I can do it with a rose, I can do it with a person, I can do it with my heart, I can do it, but
to Krishna it's difficult. Like that?
With that person, with that
deity?
No, deity. Yeah. Is it the cultural background, or what can you say?
Yeah, I experience the same difficulty. I can totally emphasize with it. How can God be in the person on the altar, statue on an altar? Is it? Do I get you right? Is it that or
not? How can I feel it? How can I?
Oh yeah.
How can I get to that? I want to do it because there's no reason why that there's any difference from a deity and a god or a cat.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all there present. So I'm more thinking it's something in me.
That keeps you from,
yes,
from doing this. Yeah, it's very interesting. Bhakti, there is one saint, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who says, when you stand before the altar, you should, before you bow down or do anything like a worship, first internalize the altar within you. In other words, you are seeing the deity first outside, but that's not enough. You must see him inside in your heart. You must, in other words, understand, I'm now bowing down to the Lord. That must be in a mood, a feeling, a sentiment, or a perspective in the heart. I would love to give you an example. Let me see, say, this is my spiritual master gave this example. A mother looks for her little child. And she comes to a place, let us say, it's a place where children play. You know, they climb up and they go down the slide, or they climb up here. And before that place, she sees the little shoes of her child. Little shoes, which are really the shoes of her child. They have this color, and there's a little teddy bear on the side, and everything. The moment she sees the shoes, she sees in her heart the child. In other words, the mother sees beyond the shoes and recognizes the presence of the child. Oh, my child is here on this playground for children. Oh, my child is happy. Oh, my child likes to drink milk. Maybe I should just go buy a little milk for my child, or an apple, and so on, and supply the child with it. In other words, the mother may see the shoes with her eyes, but she sees the child with her heart. This is the example which Prabhupada gave. So when we look at the deity, for instance here, my eyes may see a yellow dress with red dots on it, a turban, a flute, and so on and so forth. But my heart will see my beloved Lord, and to that I bow down. There is a poem, a European poet, who says, "The real things can only be seen with the heart." You might have seen this. In spiritual life, we want to sharpen our spiritual perception, and that is done by sharpening the vision of our heart. How do you sharpen the vision of the heart? Well, first of all, by knowledge. But after some time, knowledge steps to the side and happily gives the place over to feelings, to rasa. In this way, you first see with the heart, through the heart with knowledge, but then knowledge has to step to the side, and devotional feelings step into the foreground, and they tell you everything. They help you to see everything. Wonderful questions. Wonderful. Yes?
Lalita.
Lalita is your name?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I have a question about our relationship with deities. I feel some attachment to Lord Jagannath, but I'm not very developed in Krishna consciousness, I wonder if it's real or not. Is it true, or I'm just cheated by something?
By some emotions?
Yeah. How to see what is real or not?
I will give you a personal answer. I wouldn't worry too much about it. Anything which brings you closer to the Lord is good and welcome at this stage. I know I had one god sister. Her name was something with Leela, Leela Vati or something. And she would always cry when she would come before the altar. Just, and we all thought we were men, you know, from the Vikings, the north of Germany, looking towards Denmark, strong Viking-like men. We all said, "Ah, these sentimental women, like this, you know." And we asked our spiritual master, that this Lilavati is always crying, "My God, she is as sentimental as 50,000 Russians." Hare Krishna. That was an arrogant statement. Prabhupada said, "No, it's good. It's good if one is attached to Krishna. And after some time, if there are some unspiritual reasons, you will become purified, and you will be good." There's a story of one elderly lady who went to one person who was reading the Ramayana. It's a Ram Katha. These Kathas usually take place over a period of a month. They go one time through the whole work and read it and sing it and so on. And whenever this elderly lady sat down and was in this narration, in this lively spiritual narration, she started to cry. So one day the lecturer requested her to come forward. He wanted to have a short talk with her. And she said, he said to her, "You are always crying. You are so emotionally touched by what I say. Is that the reason you cry?" And he said, she said, "No, no, no. 2 weeks ago, my goat died. And he had a beard just like you. So when I see you, I have to cry because I'm reminded of my goat." So you can see the tears of this lady were not there because of spiritual reasons. She felt not moved because of the Ramayana. She remembered the goat, but at least she came to the regular discussion of the Ramayana, and there will be at the end some first class virtual benefit. Welcome, welcome.
Hi Krishna, I'm a student with
the you have come. So at least she came. So I don't think you cry because of a similar reason like this elderly lady. But whatever it is, whatever helps us to come closer to spiritual practice, it is all right. But it is also expected that as we progress, we come to purer form or more spiritual forms of expression. But that will happen, don't worry. Good. I think we, Kathleen. Oh, now is a really everyone is full of questions. Yes, Kathleen, what is your question?
Maharaj, in university, a lot of the professors are always saying, if you wanted to study something for an exam and you really want to learn it, you will teach it to somebody else, and this way, through teaching it, you'll really know it yourself. So I'm wondering if this works the same way with the concept of faith, or if you're preaching Krishna consciousness to others, will this strengthen our own faith, or is the development of faith more of a personal journey, or should it be a balance of the two?
It depends a little bit on what is your personality, but in general, whatever your personality is like, if you are an outgoing person or more a withdrawn person, when you share something spiritual, you will develop faith in what you share. Because as you share it, and I'm now speaking of something which is truthfully spiritual, which you have maybe heard from a realized person or read in a spiritual scripture, the moment you share it, you will see these are words of power which will do something in the audience. I think in Canada you are engaged in a program where you something like yoga
enchant
where you present kirtan in the yoga studios or yoga world. And you might have noticed you're doing something, you're saying something, you're explaining something, you're presenting something, and all of a sudden in your audience people reacted that this is very good, and they do it. And this gives you so much faith that even despite of you, you know, not because of you, but despite of you, you were presenting something which had an effect. I had this experience when I had my first success experience with the computer. There are very, very few experiences, but I was given for my birthday a tablet, it's called. And someone told me, press this, press this, press this, and then press this, and then you will hear a lecture. So I noted it all down, and I pressed this, 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 and then Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. The machine made a sound like this, you know, and then wow, good, it worked. So sometimes spiritual things are like this. You talk them to them, and you may not even know what you are talking and what is happening, but a person catches it who's very receptive and who may have just needed to hear this particular thing at this time of their journey, and something happens with them. They say, thank you so much, you gave me just the right hint, I will pursue this hint now, and all of a sudden you notice, wow, this seems to be good. Maybe I should also be a little bit more connected to this. This is an experience which many, many have. But generally it is said, talk about the things you have realized. Then they have potency or power. But there are exceptions. Words of power. You know, when a man stands in the desert and screams, attack! And behind him, 300,000 soldiers start marching. It was a word of power. When a priest is before two people and says, I declare you husband and wife now. Bang! There's a word of power. It means they will not escape from each other for a long time. They are married now. Or if a judge on the bench says, you are sentenced to a lifetime of imprisonment, it's a word of power. It has a lot of effect on this on the life of this person. He has to now be confined to center prison for one lifetime. So in the same way, spiritual informations are words of power. They can change the life course, the journey of a person, in a very substantial way. And but it's usual, the law is the person who speaks a word of power has to be up to the level. If I would be in the desert and scream attack, nothing would happen. There would be no one behind me. Or if you would be in a church and say to your friends, you are now husband and wife, everyone would laugh and say, what a good joke. It has no power. Because you're not on the level. So usually we should be on the level, but there is also something like faithful repetition, if this is an English word. You just repeat what you have heard, and this often, even though you are not on a realized platform, has some effect on people. My spiritual master trained us like this. He would ask us all of a sudden to give a lecture, and he would sit in the lecture at the back of the room, and we would try to explain, and he would correct us. He would say, I'm training you, although you are still young in your spiritual life, I'm training you to express these spiritual secrets, and if you do so, then people who are receptive hear them, they will benefit. So both is there. Speak according to your realization, or if you have little realization, then repeat faithfully. Good. Now, Umesh has also a question.
I can do it later. Some other
time. Because we have only up till 1:30. Is it correct? And we don't want to add So Wilhelm's tiredness. We want to end on time. So I would like to request you now that we do the same thing as we did with kirtan, with japa. I request you to pick up your japa mala, please. This workshop is all about establishing a relationship, or better even, entering into a space of relationship, a sacred space. And the way to do this was on focusing, that we focus our attention on God, on the Lord, on Krishna. The first step was, I'm your part and your eternal servant. You are my eternal master. And in this material world, my only true purpose is to reestablish my relationship with you. Now this same meditation is expressed in a very ancient text, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in a beautiful prayer which I like to chant with you. The way we do it is here. We will start our chanting together, and then when I say like this, when I not say like this, when I make like this, it means start, and when I do two bell rings, it means kindly stop, and then I will say something. So for now, we will just start with our japa. Please go to the head beat, to the Krishna beat, and write the first beat after the head beat is where you start. And we will now start to just chant with just the way we whatever comes, it comes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, read one text to you, a brief text, one is immediately freed from the clutches of illusion. If he seriously and sincerely says, "My dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in this material world, today I am surrendering unto you. I am your sincere and serious servant. Please engage me in your service." Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It may be that we chant the names of Krishna, but because we have no relationship to him, Krishna remains a stranger to us. Before the next exercise, I would like to give you a very, very pleasing example from yesterday. Whenever I'm staying here, I'm staying in the apartment of Ramananda, who lives just above me. I think he is nice, but he was always a stranger to me until yesterday when he came sweating out of his garden and he asked me, "What is a red plastic bag with chemicals?" And I said, "I don't know, you tell me." "That's a tomato, a modern tomato." And he said, I discovered something, Maharaj. I saw I was too much in my head for these last 20 years. I'm now doing, next to all the other things I do, gardening." And see, and he looked, the muscles, he was sweating. He looked really like an intellectual who was imprisoned in his room before. Now he looked like a real breathing human being. He said, "I'm grounding myself. It's so good also for my spiritual life. I see now all of Radhadesh as a temple and also as a pile of compost." He said like this. So with this statement, the stranger who had been close to me, the close stranger who had offered me use of his apartment, all of a sudden became close to me, a person I could understand. He told me something, and we will meet and we will discuss about grounding ourselves in spiritual life. It's an area of thought where I have thought a lot and presented a lot on how to find one's dharma in this world, one's unique purpose, how to live a healthy life like this, which is conducive to spiritual realization. With chanting, something like that can happen. If you start to chant with a relationship where you come close to Krishna, it might be that you are all of a sudden discovering an entirely new and fresh dimension in your meditation, a divine meditation. Before it was just a dry practice, now it has become a sparkling divine relationship. Hare Krishna. So I will again say this very, very ancient text to you, and then we will chant on our own strengths. One is immediately freed from the clutches of illusion if he seriously and sincerely says, "My dear Lord Krishna," are you listening? "Although I have forgotten you for so many long years in the material world, today the day has come where I surrender unto you. O Gopinath, please hear my request. I am a wicked materialist, always addicted to worldly desires. I have no good qualities. O Gopinath," it's the name of Krishna, "you are my only hope, and therefore I have taken shelter at your lotus feet. I am now your eternal servant. O Gopinath, please purify my heart. I do not know what devotion is, and my materialistic mind is absorbed in material activities. I have fallen into this very dark and dangerous worldly existence." And the last, "O Gopinath, everything here is your illusory energy. It's Maya. I have no strength or transcendental knowledge. And this body of mine is not independent and free from the control of material nature. I will end actually with text 7. O Gopinath, you are the ocean of mercy. Having come into this phenomenal world, you expand your divine pastimes for the sake of the fallen souls. And one of the pastimes I should add is that the Lord has come in the form of His holy names. Please chant now two rounds on your own strengths in your own speed. So I hope you all have made some type of experience. I will in a moment request you to build groups of two and talk about something. See, this morning in the lecture we set the theme for this day, that is chanting with a sense of relationship. We had heard that without this we only get a shadow of the holy name, when eventually we don't develop a sense of relationship, the holy name will become totally oblique to us. It will be as if darkness descends in our life, and we really don't have more of a relationship with the chanting than just a yoga practice, a concentration practice, but not really a bhakti practice where the Lord is revealing Himself to us. This sense of relationship, when we start with this and we chant with faith and a sense of relationship, the holy name will slowly rise in our consciousness. There will be first a little bit less darkness, and a little bit more light, and then the proportions skip or change. There will be more light and less and not enough, not much darkness. The light will increase and the darkness will decrease. It will go proportionally. But this is only happening if we go by the road of Sambandha in our spiritual life. I would like to now request you to turn to a neighbor, and then I will give you a task to discuss for about 10 minutes or so. Please find yourself someone. Actually, go to hurry. I could talk with you if you wish. Then we have something spiritual to discuss. We could have some music in the background, not some nice music. Yeah. Or should I just do the? This is enough, isn't it? Yeah. So, Hari Bol, has everyone found a person to dialogue with who has not yet found someone? Okay. James, you found someone? Oh, he's very, very suited. My question to all of you is now, or I would like you to share, what did you learn about chanting with a sense of relationship? Can you share please something on this chanting with a sense of relationship, which is so essential in order to overcome mechanical chanting? Just you know, mechanical. Share something. Maybe what you experienced in a kirtan, maybe what you have experienced in your life. Please share something. Start now.